Hey everyone, welcome to an all new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. It's Better Breakfast O'Clock at Wendy's. Get a hot and buttery Wendy's breakfast biscuit with bacon or sausage, fresh cracked egg and cheese for just $1. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. I'm Grant Lifman alongside Kendra Andrews as always. And Kendra, we have a good one today. We got Jordan Poole joining us, and he's going to talk about his career so far, what's to come. He talks about Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph breaking the record, if he deserves a Rolex or not. He talks about his nicknames. Did I preview this enough?
I think so, Grant. I think that that gives a real good taste. Look, I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear the interview. So that if that means anything, I think you did a good job.
It does mean something. It definitely does mean something. And I'm also just excited to see Jordan Poole back and playing again, because it's just so disappointing. Jordan, you know, he's had that inconsistency very early on, but you could just see the strides he was making and really, really was developing such a confidence and just I would say a good combination of being aggressive and tempered and being controlled while being chaotic, right? He was finding that balance, and it's hopefully just him being stuck in Boston for all this time and everything, just it didn't detract too much from the progress he was making.
That's the real hope. And you know, with the Warriors game in Denver being postponed, I was told that the Warriors are going to squeeze in another practice in Denver on both whatever day the game was scheduled for, Thursday, I think it was, before flying out to Salt Lake City for the game against the Jazz. And the hope is that Jordan Poole gets extra run time in those practices, because it has been so, so long since he's really been able to do any physical activity, right? We don't know what he was limited to or allowed to do while quarantining in Boston. Does that mean he was just confined to his hotel room? Was he able to get any type of physical exercise in? We don't know. But I agree with you. You know, I hope that his time in the health and safety protocols didn't completely take away all the progress he's made. Because Grant, as you said, he has taken some big, big strides through the first couple months of the season.
Half of everything in basketball is rhythm, right? And that's what you hear. And when a guy comes back after so much time, they have to find that rhythm. The game, there's a rhythm to it, the speed of the game, the way your shots go up, the way you dictate the flow of the game, all that happens. And there's a reason why guys can be rusty, et cetera, is finding that. So hopefully Jordan's a guy that never lacked confidence. It's just hopefully he has that same, you know, presence out there or can find it quickly for his sake and for the Warriors' sake. So you mentioned Klay, and we're so close. We don't know. Everyone assumes it's either the January 3rd, January 9th, or January 18th. Those are the three target dates. Those are home games. Those are the next three home games. Everyone's targeting those. Some are very confident about January 9th. Some say are very confident about the 18th. There's fewer that say January 3rd as of now. But when this happens, Kendra, and we should add, James Wiseman has been added to health and safety protocol. So for any progress he was making in terms of, you know, just getting back into contact drills, et cetera, that has to be delayed again. So his return, we're not going to probably include him when we talk about this right now in terms of returns, but Klay's coming. It's coming real soon. I know we say winter is coming, but Klay is any couple weeks now.
It's imminent, right? That's just the word that you use, whether it's the 3rd, the 9th, the 18th. The 18th is what, like 3 weeks away at this point, just about. So that's not a lot of time. We're hearing just such positive things about the progress he's made. As I said, he's on the road trip with the team right now, which is, you know, means that he is really starting to try and get back into that word that you used again, the rhythm of being with the team. You know, he's not playing, but just the game day, the practice day routine of it all, that's so important to these kinds of players to get into rhythm, into the habits that they're so used to. So it's just all good signs pointing in the right direction. And, you know, it's those final little hurdles that he has to get over for the team to give him the big green check and say that you're good to go.
I'm going to put on my speculation cap here.
Oh, and is that the hat that you're wearing right
that's
now?
It, the speculation cap. Okay. And I'm just trying to think, like, maybe, and there's absolutely no basis to this, I'm thinking Maybe he's going to start going on road trips now because he knows if he comes back the ninth, they immediately go on the road for a trip. So maybe they're just getting him accustomed to getting back on the road again because, hey, you're about to hit the road really, really soon.
There you go.
This is what's happening in my head right now. I don't know.
It's just that's the effect of the hat, Grant. It's the effect of the hat. It's, I mean, your speculation is as good as mine. You know,
I don't know,
but that could very well be part of it. And I think the other part is just getting him fully back integrated with the team because he lost so much time with them. And with this uptick in COVID cases around the league, it is nice to still see him be able to be with the team because for a large portion of his, you know, rehabbing process and stuff, when protocols and the rules around the league with COVID were so, so strict, that's a big reason why he wasn't able to travel or the team was nervous for him to travel with the team. You know, what happens with James Wiseman right now, they don't want that to happen with Clay to get back into protocol. But that being said, it is just good to have him around the team. But I mean, yeah, it could also be a routine thing saying after your first home game, you're coming back out on the road. So you need to remember how it is. But all we can do is wait up to 3 weeks and see what happens.
So the other thing that we need to see what happens is Planet Orange. A leader in eco-friendly, effective pest control. Let us be your partner for all your pest control needs, servicing residential, industrial, and commercial customers without harming the environment. Planet Orange, family-friendly, pet-friendly, and professional. Before we get to Jordan Poole here, I was trying to like think of a rotation that could happen in the next few weeks because they were literally that far away. The problem is COVID is also throwing such a wrench in this. We don't know when James Wiseman is going to be back, but let's just assume for just a second before Wiseman comes back and Clay gets a few games under his belt, so his conditioning's a little better. What type of rotation can we see? And part of the question is who's not going to be in the rotation, right? So
yeah, that's the harder part of the question, honestly.
It's so hard because so many times we've said, well, Jonathan Kuminga needs more minutes because he's playing well, but you start looking at it and be like, well, if JTA can't even get minutes in this rotation, if Bielitsa's minutes start getting, you know, lessened and everything, how can you now just put Kuminga above those guys? How do you know Moody is going to be on the outside looking in potentially. Mm-hmm. And you do start looking at the way they've been trying to design Steph Curry's minutes to leave in the middle of the first quarter or the end of the first quarter. That's Jordan Poole time, right? So that's designed to show that Klay Thompson will start over Jordan Poole. And then Jordan Poole will eventually take over for Curry in those minutes. But then my question to you, Kendra, is if Poole takes over for Curry midway through the first or the end of first, and how they've been doing it with Curry starting the second, is Poole out there with Curry to start the second? Because if so, that could be fun.
It could. And then the other name that you have to factor in is Gary Payton II. And what does that mean for his minutes? He's a guy that Steve Kerr has said time and time and time again, he needs to find more minutes for GP2. So you kind of, in my mind, I have those four guys of Clay, Gary, Jordan, and Steph as like the set of guards, the two sets of guards and whichever combination out there for, you know, the starters. And then the relief unit, the second unit. So yeah, you could say, okay, you're going to put Jordan Poole in there at the midway through the first quarter, end of the first quarter, have Steph sit. So it's Clay and Jordan. And then to start the second, then you take Clay out, you put Steph in, have Jordan Poole there. But then where is Gary Payton II going to fit it? It's, and if you have an opinion on where Gary Payton II fits in, please let me know.
I assume when Clay goes out, when Curry and Clay go out in the first quarter, midway through, that's when Poole and GP2 would come in. That's my assumption right now.
I agree with that, yeah.
And then I think Poole and GP2 play out the rest of the first quarter. And then maybe Curry gets back in at the very end of the first quarter just to get a couple shots in. And then maybe GP2 exits to start the second, or maybe Poole and GP2 exit to start the second. And then they go back closer to the lineup that they had earlier this season when they're experimenting with like the Curry, Lee, Iguodala, Porter, Bielitsa lineup, which they liked.
Yeah.
and then they immediately rotate and immediately throw in Poole and GP2 and Clay. Remember Clay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins? And Draymond Green has to be out there rotating.
And Kevon Looney. No, it is pretty
Otto cool. Porter.
An Otto Porter. I mean, it is really, really crazy. And then whenever James Wiseman, I know for this exercise, we're saying that he's not part of this, but then he does come back and you're like, okay, well, then what happens? Because it's true, you know, and it's funny. And I wrote like chicken scratch, a little bit of just possible rotations. And you have the starting lineup of Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggs, and Kevon Looney. That's what that's going to be. And then you get into the second and you say, okay, Jordan Poole, Gary Payton. Then I have like Otto slash Belly, then Wiseman slash Belly for when James Wiseman's healthy, then Andre, but then JTA, but Damian, you know what I mean? So it's going to be crazy to see how this franchise and organization kind of juggles all this. But I will just say again, you know, this team is so, so deep. And unfortunately, it's really hard to think that there's going to be a time where every single player is going to be available. Unfortunately, it just does not look like that's the way the world, the league is trending. So in that case, having all of these bodies is going to be such an advantage for the Warriors throughout the stretch of the season. Yeah. However, if they do find a time where every single guy is healthy, which would just be a feat in itself, yeah, it's going to be quite the puzzle to see where exactly guys fit in. Because you also mentioned, Grant, okay, Juan Toscano falls out of the rotation. He is a guy who thinks that he deserves minutes because he does. Right. Damian Lee is a guy who believes he deserves minutes because he does. So it's not like your end of the bench guys are going to be, you know, players who can kind of just shrug and say, yeah, I get it. I'm behind Steph and Draymond. Sure, I'm not going to get a lot of minutes. No, it's guys that have had true impacts on this team who have had huge roles in the past year and a half, all of a sudden.
Right.
Not playing in games. It's gonna be interesting. You know, this team talks a lot about the sacrifice that it takes and that there's an understanding. However, there's a difference between understanding that you're gonna have to sacrifice something and actually sacrifice it. So it's gonna be interesting.
Absolutely. And these guys really are team players, but as Kendra, the other part of it is half the team, if not more, are free agents after this year.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And a lot of these guys haven't had these big contracts in their lives. You know, I'm not talking about Andre Iguodala. I'm talking about Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Lee, these guys. These are the guys that are going to have to try to earn money. And if they're not playing the rest of the year and they're out of the rotation, that's got to be hard because you obviously have to bite your pride because you're trying to win, right, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, well, I need to prove that I'm worthy of contracts or being in the league. So it's going to be a lot to juggle. You're right. It's a crazy thought to even think that there's a chance there's a whole healthy team at this point in the NBA, because I just don't know when that's going to happen. But the one last lineup that I have to think about, and the one I play with the most in my head, is that the small ball lineup. Mm-hmm. There are so many different combinations you could go with, because you do know Curry, Clay, Wiggins, and Draymond are in there, right? But you could put Poole, obviously.
Right.
You could put GP2 in there to play that 6'3", you know, big man.
Yep.
Porter has been good in closing lineups. Damian Lee has even been in a lot of closing lineups this year, earlier this season. There's going to be so many different combinations. It's crazy. But I've mentioned Poole like 1,000 times. Do we just get to Jordan Poole now?
I think that's the perfect way to leave it.
All right. Absolutely. Okay. So, hey, everyone. I'm going to pass you over to a guy that's just taking the league by storm. Excited to see him back in the rotation again. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Poole. Jordan, thanks for joining.
No problem. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. It's been, I feel like you and I have gotten a chance to talk each, you know, at least once each year so far in the NBA. Right. You know, I think both of us are getting better at this as we go along, you know, just, or at least I am. So let me ask you this. You were drafted when we first chatted. You're a 19-year-old guy right out of Michigan. Did you expect your game to be what it looks like right now, the way you attack, the way you do your things at 22? Was that kind of how you projected your career going?
heavy hitters right out the gate, right? I would say yeah. It was just a matter of figuring out how and like where essentially I would be able to do it. I was talking to somebody and I was like, the shots that I'm shooting now, I was shooting the shots, like the same shots my first year. And it just was my game. It was just a matter of time before everything started to, you know, move fluidly, piece together. You know, Steph was out our first year. Clay was out. A lot of pressure, you know, was on Draymond because he was the only vet that we had out there my first year. Had a lot of different teammates. So it was a roller coaster in terms of, you know, consistency with, you know, everything across the board. But in terms of my game, I had no doubt about how I would play. It would just be a matter of when.
When we look at the draft process and we look at draft analysis, a lot of people looked at your ability to shoot as, and that's something you've been doing your whole career. But
right.
The way they kind of broke it down was more that Jordan Poole has the skills, but he's more going to end up being like your spot up catch and shoot guy in the NBA, right? Like your shooting guard in that regard. What you're bringing out right now is like your quickness and your ability off the dribble to get to the hoop, and you're finishing with left hand, right hand. Has that always been there as part of your game and that people just didn't really buy into it as much, or is it just really developed a lot quicker than you thought? How about that?
I think it's a lot of stuff that goes with this. Well, first and foremost, I feel like it's really rare to be able to come into a system and be allowed to play your style of play because it fits, right? So the style that I'm playing now and the way that I've been playing is totally like, is who I am, right? I'm not doing too much. I don't feel like I'm doing something that's not my game, that's out of character. But I've always been the type of player where whatever it takes for the team to win or puts the team in the best position to win, I'll do. Right. So my senior year of high school, I came off the bench. I was sixth man, and we ended up winning the national championship. And then in college, we had a really good team our first year and our second year. But we had like specific pieces, you know, and coach wanted me to essentially run to the corner, be a shooter in the corner. And then if I could make plays off the secondary action, you know, just continue to be aggressive. But now, you know, coach is putting the ball in my hands whenever Steph's not the primary ball handler. I'm primary ball handler, and I get to make plays for other while still being aggressive. So right now, the game that I'm playing, I can say credit to the coaching staff and, you know, the rest of my teammates. I'm just being me, you know, and it's easier to be yourself than it is to be somebody or not. So it takes less energy.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I was just diving into the numbers a little bit before and just looking at the analytics. Right now, you're shooting like a lot better from the right corner versus the left corner. Is that just an aberration? Is that a statistical thing? Or are you actually more comfortable in the right corner versus left corner?
I saw that. And Wiggs is shooting an insane amount on the left side, right?
Exactly.
I think it's just the shots that we're getting this year. Wiggs is going to the left corner a lot more, and I'm going to the right. I don't think it has anything to do, like, you know, with our style of play. It's just essentially the positions we're in most of the time.
Yeah, it's just – it's funny. It's just it sometimes there's just statistical anomalies and it has nothing to do with anything. And for instance, like, there's seasons where Steph just cannot make from one corner. Like, and it switches which corner it is, right? And it just so happens. It just turns out that way. But when you look at your game, we talked about your game, the changes you made and how it's kind of progressing. Just – professionally and just personally, do you think you've changed over the last 3 years?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like you should though, right? I mean, 3 years ago, I was a 19-year-old and I'm 22. If I didn't change, I don't think I'd be in the situation that I'm in now, right? So, I mean, in terms of what, basketball and life, just you learn so much, right? It's been a very, very interesting 3 years. You know, COVID happened and you got a year to kind of essentially take a break, pause, reevaluate, you know, gather as much intel And now we're kind of back into the flow of things. Life's starting to get back to normal, you know, in whatever sense of the word that means. But I mean, just all of the knowledge that I've gained over the last couple of years is being in a new situation, right? I'm living on my own now. I'm no longer in college, you know, really considered an adult. You know, just stuff that comes with it, the main trajectory of life, I guess. And luckily I have a lot of older guys and vets who are extremely experienced in the category of life, which makes it a lot easier to ask questions because you're getting really good answers. So yeah, I mean, I've changed for the better more than anything. And I feel like the COVID year played a really big part of that just because it gave us a chance to slow down, to stop, to think, you know, like I said, reevaluate. But for me, it was in my way. It was the end of my first year, right? So for some people, it's year 13, year 14. They're getting the opportunity to spend time with their kids and their family and make up on the lost ones. And I don't have anything to do, so I'm in the gym and, you know, better myself as an individual, as a person, and as a son, as a friend, as a teammate. So just really I personally took a lot of the time that I could in COVID to really try to reconstruct everything, and it's definitely benefited.
Yeah, you mentioned it, and it's like you look at your three seasons right now in the NBA, and what it's just as roller coaster ride as you can get. You're part of a team that finished with the worst record in the NBA. Then you go through the COVID situation, and now all of a sudden you're a team that's like right in the thick of things, competing for an NBA title again, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like that ride that you just went on. I would think that you learn from each experience, right? And you've now been able to experience each thing. I would assume that helps you grow probably quicker than you might have if you were stuck in one situation for those 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to adjust, essentially, is what it is. And when it's new, when it's different, you got to find ways to thrive, right? Find ways to learn, find ways to put yourself in a situation to get out of it, or to make the best of the situation. And it was so much over the last 2 years that I kind of had to mature like really quickly, right? Like my first year, I was a rookie. I was going to use the rookie card as much as I can. You know, like if I wanted to go and eat cookies after the game, I'm saying that I can because I'm 19 years old, right? But now that I'm like, you know, 22, a little bit older, and I'm not the youngest player on the team anymore, we got, you know, a handful of guys who are a bit younger in age. You just want to be kind of like essentially the middle child. Like you're not the oldest, but you know, you can help both ways. You can play the young, little bro card when you want to, but you can also play like essentially the veteran card if you need to. So, you know, if you just adjust and find ways to, you know, elevate not only on the court or in athletic performances, but in life, right? Then you find ways to get better every month, every year, you know, every situation, you'll be in a pretty good spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you've been asked multiple times about, you know, personal goals with, you know, where do you see yourself? Are you trying for most improved player or, you know, there's different awards that you can go for, but, and you've kind of shied away from putting an exact, you know, little marker and say, that's what I want. But is it safe to say at least that in the way you envision your career going, you see yourself and you have this goal of being an all-star?
I was telling I was talking to somebody about this a little bit ago, a couple months. And it was like, well, I mean, when I was in high school, I was one of the best players, right? I felt like I was a really good player. When I went to college, I was one of the best players. I felt like I was a really good player, enough to make it to the NBA. And then you get to the league and essentially, like in hindsight, it's no different, right? Like if you were able to be good on every other level, it may be a bit tougher, it may be a bit more challenging, a bit more difficult, right? But there's no different than, you know, you being able to have a chance of being one of the best players on this level as well. The difference is you get 4 years in high school and college. You know, you can make this last as long as you want, right? So I'm just trying to get better every day. You know, as cliche as it sounds, you know, and when you really, really, really like dive deep into the statement of I want to be the best player that I personally can be, you're not worried about anything else, right? Like if you focus on being the best player you can be, it helps the team, it helps your teammates, it's better on your coaches. And you know, I just put my head down and I just grind, right? And everything else to take care of itself. Everything else. I heard that from a vet a couple of years ago. Shout out to the vet who told me, but you just put your head down and grind and focus on getting better each and every day, right? No matter what it is. When you look up, you know, you'll be starting, or you look up and you'll be an all-star, whatever the situation is, or you'll win a ring. So, you know, just day-by-day process, you know, be present, be where your feet are, and everything else will just take care of it. So,
is there a, you know, and I like that, the just, you know, it's almost like living in the moment, right? Just do what you can do every single day. Why look too far in the future?
Right.
But just in terms of, has there ever been a goal that you had, like growing up, like that you're like, oh, I want to, that'd be so cool to average 20 points in a season or something. Is there like a, just one of those that you'd be like, if I ever accomplish that, that'd be pretty cool.
Man, to be honest, making it to the league was it, right? Like, that's not normal, especially not where I come from, where, you know, the kids that I play basketball growing up with, the kids I go to school with, like, essentially, I did it, right? I did what I needed to do for, you know, the small town, you know, kids' dreams, right? So now it's like, all right, let's, like I said, with the COVID, let's reevaluate, right? Now, what is it? What is it, what can we actually do? And there's never been anything that I've seen that felt too challenging, right? That like, oh, there's no way that I'll be able to do that. All-star, yeah, why not? You know, like championship, yeah, why not? I'm seeing some of the best players in the world every single day in our facility, right? And if they're doing it, you know, I could just follow their path and it works for them, and, you know, try to apply it to what I can do, and I'll give myself the best chance. So in terms of like, is there anything that I wanted to do? I mean, yeah, an all-star and win a championship, shoot 90 from the line, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, you're on that right now. Give me a little 50-40-90 at some point. I want to see.
Oh, man, right?
50-40-90. I think that's a benchmark that every player should like aspire to in today's league, right?
Yeah.
If you do 50-40-90, because everything's about efficiency nowadays, right?
Right.
That's like your gold standard right there, the 50-40-90. I like it. But then again, it's like, how many attempts are you taking? It all matters.
Yeah, 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 right? Yeah. It's all of the extracurriculars that kick in.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, just talking about, you said just the influence being around Steph. Obviously, he just broke a three-point record, you know, the all-time record. Just watching that, does it inspire you at all for yourself to just to dream about moments like that for your own personal career?
Yeah, it's insane to see it, right? To be a part of it, right? Because there's only 10 people on the court, you know, at the time, and only so many people in the arena, right? In the grand scheme of things, it's amazing, man. Shout out to Steph. It's a huge accomplishment. It's almost inexplainable coming from me, because I watched him growing up, right? And I always thought he was one of the greatest shooters of all time. But to be on the court and see him pass the actual number, where there's no more almost, he is the greatest shooter, and he has so much time left, right? And he has so many more seasons, and yeah, man, it's absolutely remarkable. You don't come across things like that often, right? And just being able to embrace it, be a part of it, allow him to have his moment. You know, he's worked so hard, and you can just see everything, all of the emotions that was flowing with him, all of the hard work, all of the, you know, days in the gym, the good days, bad days, you know, tough shots, you know, whatever, you know, the case may be. It's amazing to see that for him. And it's also to see that it's doable, that it's possible. And like I said, bro, it's not – I don't know. I've been trying to figure out, if somebody asked me what I would say about it, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless, and it's remarkable, man. So it's just crazy to see.
You're only 22 years old. You can go for the record, Jordan.
Yeah, hey, look.
I mean, if we're setting –
if you see it and it's right in front of you, and, you know, I'm able to witness this with my eyes, I mean – we're in a pretty good situation to do so.
Yeah, keep it in the family, you know. Don't
leave. Keep it in house. In house. We might as well keep it right in the Chase Center, huh?
Yeah. No, it's no matter what the Warriors. So whether it's you in the future, no matter what, certain records need to stay within the family. It's the 3 points in a game. You know, Clay's 14. So if Steph kind of went for it,
And I was like, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't just be trying for this in a game. And I think he said, he was like, I pushed it a little bit. But, you know, if you keep that in the family, you keep the all-time record in the family, I think, I don't know.
It'll be all right, right?
Yeah, it's all right. how bummed were you that you weren't the one who made the pass to Steph?
I wasn't tripping at all. I just wanted to see the shot. As long as I saw the shot go in, I'm good. I was on the court, had a jersey on. I shook his hand, gave him a hug. Like, I'm good. Wiggs can have that assist, bro. We talked about it. Wiggs can have that assist, bro. They don't come often, so whenever Wiggs passes it, I'm okay. We're okay.
I like it. Draymond said that he passed out of a play. He never passes out of it.
Never, never. That's actually tough.
That is so funny. And then also, I tweeted this out, but, like, your boy Alec Burks is going to forever live in a historical moment because he's the one contesting Steph on that shot. So,
I mean, would you rather not contest it?
Like, no, right? I'm saying it's actually a cool thing that you're out there.
That you're on defense. Like, I mean, I would say if I was him, I was on the court when he made the shot. I wouldn't say he made the shot over me, though. That's definitely not what I'm saying.
It's just like, you know, because then your kids in the future or anybody in the future would be like, hey, what was it like guarding Steph Curry? And you're like, well, here's the clip of me getting
here it is, right? This is the one.
Yeah, exactly. How many times have you got on him about the Rolex situation? Because this is becoming a big deal, you know. He gives a Rolex to those guys. I mean, call him out, man.
Somebody said something about it. I was like, the people that he gave the Rolex to are the people that deserve the Rolex. Like, if I was out there dishing that to him, I would say something, but I wasn't. And good for them, you know. Andre just better not leave his Rolex because I'll put him in the bag. I'll take it in the bag and carry it for him.
we're gonna save this as criminal evidence in the future. But you mentioned the youth, the vets, the combo. Everyone looks at it and goes, this team's competing for a title. You got the seasoned vets that have been there. You got the youth movement coming through. But like present versus future, we talk about the bridge to the future for the Golden State Warriors. But you look at the talent in the youth movement for the Warriors. You, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman. Do you guys ever talk about it? Do you ever think about like what a team could look like in the future with the talent that you have like rising up?
Yeah. I think it's really hard to look too far into the future knowing what we have right in front of us. Especially for me, I feel like they – in, you know, in terms of everybody else, kind of wrote us off the last 2 years, right? Like, they went from, well, you know, the dynasty, and they were in the finals, and then the 2 years that we had that were, you know, not good, mediocre. They kind of just forgot about us, essentially. And I think Draymond said something about it a couple months ago, and, like, we're back now. Now we're here, right? We're playing good basketball, and we're a really good team. And I think we have a chance now, and especially for the young guys, trying to be as vocal as I can, you know, and kind of tell them, like, don't pass on this moment, because if you can really be here now and take everything that we can take in this current situation, it'll help us in the long run, right? Like, the future will be better because, like, it's such a unique situation we're in right now. Andre is, what, 38? You know, like, we don't know how many seasons he'll play left, so we got to take all of the knowledge that he has, him being on the court, him being on the bench, him being in the locker room, is a huge staple because it shows what you need for a championship culture, right? It shows, like, he knows exactly what it's like, right? Of course, Draymond and Steph and Clay, but it's just trying to learn everything you possibly can so when the time does come and when it's time for us to be in that situation, we didn't pass on the experience and we learned as much as we possibly could to put ourselves in the best situation. So, I mean, we want to get, like, we're getting better every single day, and we are, you know, obviously going to be as best as we can for the future, but right now it's so, so pivotal and so crucial to the movement coming forward.
Do you feel a little extra pressure? Does the team put a little extra pressure to be like, we got to get this done, we got to perform at a high level for those guys? Like, do they put the onus on you to kind of step up to the plate type thing?
In terms of, like, the young guys, stepping up and playing better for the older older guys
on the team? To compete for the title, to do it for Steph, Andre, these guys that have been there, like, to be like, I don't want to be the weak link, the person that doesn't get you there.
Yeah, I think that's more individual. Like, me personally, like, I'd be damned if I feel like I wasn't prepared for the playoffs, right? Or for the season that we're having now. You know, you kind of got to see it essentially ahead of time, or more so foreshadow it so you know what to prepare yourself for. But I don't think there's any pressure. I think, you know, the older guys know the load that they have and the job that they have to do in terms of teaching us, right? Like, we can't be as good as – we can't unlock our full potential if we're not getting taught the correct way. And I think they know that. And it's a long season, and it's a really long season. We have a lot of time to just talk and learn and grow, ask questions. But I wouldn't say that there's pressure. I think we all have a really good idea of the camaraderie and the chemistry that we have within the youth, the vets, and then the guys in the middle. So,
for guys, I had mentioned, like, for instance, Jonathan Kuminga, there's obviously a lot of excitement about him. When he does play with the team, it seems like they kind of simplified the role, be like, let's just be really great at this, right? And just try, because he's still so young, so inexperienced. Yeah. Do you look at it and you just see the development in that regard, and you can project growth in that? Like, do you like the way someone like Kuminga is developing at this level right now?
Yeah, it's such a unique situation, right? Because him and Moses were lottery picks, and you don't see lottery picks go down and get run with the G League team too often. But it just shows you the unique situation and circumstance that we're in, right? That is more than just being about yourself, right? That we run a different type of ship over here. It's a pretty tight ship, right? But it's for the team, and it's about putting guys on a court who, you know, are going to best help us, right? But we also are good enough this year to essentially have guys, have our lottery picks, right? Our younger guys go and get burned and get time and put up, you know, 30 shots or whatever, score 40 points in a G League and come back because, you know, we feel solidified as a team. This it'd have been different a couple of years ago. Like, some lottery picks are, you know, really, really, really like the main part of their team, right? So if they go down and they play in the G League, their team is probably not going to win the game, right? But luckily, we're in a unique situation where we can send our lottery guys down there to go really get burned and really learn and come back and apply it in a real life NBA game. So it just means a lot of cars fell in the right places, I'd say, and we're just really, really in a good situation, and we just got to make the most of it, to be honest.
And I mean, you've talked about it before, and we've talked about it on this podcast last year, how important it was for you to go down the G League every now and then to learn, right? To be the guy down there and be able to do and kind of work out the kinks and do all this stuff. Do you think of it as super important to Jonathan and Moses in the same way?
Yeah, as you should. You should. Like, if you're going down there and, you know, you are the scouting report, right? You are what the other teams were scheming for. You're going to see four or five different coverages, different actions that you're not seeing when you, you know, come and you play against the Jazz or you come play against the Kings because, you know, they're focusing on Steph or they're game planning for Wiggs, right? So you make it more open corner threes, but when you go down there and if that's who you want to be, if you want to be, you know, a really impactful player, if you really want to help your team and you want to carry that load, you're seeing those type of actions down there. And I was just telling somebody, it's live reps. That's essentially what it is. You can go, you can do drill work all you want. You can go and you can do, you know, in and out crossover pull-ups, make 10. But if you're getting game live reps 48 minutes, you know, an in and out crossover may not work against a double team, right? But you wouldn't see that if you're doing drill work in practice. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of different ways to look at it. It's all about perspective. What I realize is if you tap into the right perspective and you have a specific focus, something that you want to work on, something that you want to lock in, it could pay huge, huge dividends, right? It's a sense of maturity, to be honest. It's more so, you know, a mental test, just to grow up, I guess. It's a lot that goes with it. So I'm glad that they're down there learning and they can come back and, you know, they're having a really good year impactfully with us, and they're learning so much in both ways. So good for them.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of perspective, just last time we had you on here last year, you were saying how you welcomed the let's say the demonstrative teaching of Draymond Green. You were saying how you welcome it. And he's a very demonstrative person, right? He's on the court. That's his bravado, the way he brings it out. Do you still welcome the public display of frustration every now and then that he displays out there?
What I appreciate most about it is that it's who he is, right? He's himself. And you can't ask for anything more than that, right? Like, if that's how he expresses his feelings, and, you know, he is our defensive anchor, right? Defensive player of the year, right? Like, he's a huge part of our team. He has so much knowledge. I mean, if he wants – if the only way he can get that out is by yelling and screaming, right? Okay, like, that is what it is. You just take what it is, the lesson is, and you keep it pushing. Like, for some other people, it may be more than that. It may be like, oh, you yelling at me, or, you know, you raising your voice at me, and I'm a grown man, I don't need to hear that. Like, all right, well, you obviously are worked up about something. Say it. Say what it is. Tell me. I'll fix it. If I don't agree with it, I'm going to say something back. We figure it out, and we keep it pushing. Like, but you can't dwell on it. You can't do too much, you know. If it's in the game, if it's on the sideline, bro, we got something else to worry about, right? We got another 20 minutes. We got another half, another quarter up there. You can't hang your head on that. Let's get it over with. Fix it. We're a really good team. We're good players. Let's get it over with. Learn. We'll talk about it later and keep it pushing. Right? You can't dwell on it. You don't want to go down on the other court with a 10-pound suitcase thinking about, oh, Draymond yelled at me. Like, no, because if you pass me the ball and I'm open, bro, I got to shoot. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's Draymond. And we have a really good – we have a good enough relationship off the court where that's like, all right, if you're going to say something to me, I know where it's coming from. And if I got something to say to you, I'm going to say it. We're more so just hold each other accountable. And I mean, our personalities are different, right? But Draymond's a unique person, and that's what makes him Draymond. So you can't blame him or fault him for being himself.
Right. Right, absolutely. And I think that's key, is that people see what happens in public, but they don't see the relationships outside of the public eye, right?
And you can't even worry about them. They don't know. All they see is all you see is Draymond yelling and somebody snapping back. Like, we could be excited. We could be excited talking about something we're doing after the game, right? But they don't know because it's a different perspective.
Yeah. You're like, can you believe what we're having for dinner later?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe Steph just hit 3,000 threes? Like, why are they yelling at each other?
Pull me back.
Hold me back. I'm so excited. I'm going to give you a hug. Like, come on, man. You know, like, who really cares what the other people think, right, to be honest?
He also seems like a dude, though, that, like, when he's going, and everyone has friends like this, when he's going, telling them to chill out probably kind of sets them off a little bit more. So you just kind of let them do their thing.
You have to.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to Andre, played with Draymond for a long time, and I feel like that's something that becomes with, like, you know, being a leader, right? And all of the levels that I played, I was essentially the leader of our team. And everybody's different. You got to cater to people a bit differently. And for Draymond, just let him get it off his chest. He can do all the screaming he won't. I tell him, bro, you can do all that yelling, all the screaming and stuff. Like, as soon as I hear your point, keep it pushing. Let's come run this next play. Big bro.
I like it. Another guy that, I mean, unfortunately, you haven't even got a chance to actually play with yet, which is crazy. For as long as you've been on the team, the fact that you haven't gotten a chance to play with Klay Thompson yet. We're so close to him coming back. He might be, and I really believe this, one of the most universally loved players across all fan bases, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every fan base has that person. I can promise you there's a lot of fan bases that don't like Draymond Green, right? Like,
right.
Let's
right.
Know. But Klay Thompson's this guy that everyone loves. What do you think makes him so endearing to people?
Because he is exactly who he is. He is himself. He doesn't try to be anybody else, right? Like, Klay will go and shoot, and he'll hit 14 threes, right? He'll say whatever he got to say, and then you'll catch him a couple days later on a boat, right? Like, on live, right? Or chilling with his dog. And I'll be telling Klay, like, he's just the king of one-liners. Like, he got all of these crazy one-liners, these movie quotes that he uses. And it's like, yo, you speaking in code. Like, you speaking in dialect. But it's who he is, right? And you can't, like, that's just, I don't even know how to really describe it. Like I said earlier, it takes more energy to be somebody that you're not. And we're in a society today where, like, you know, people have this specific standard that they have to live up to, or they have to dress a specific way. Like, bro, Klay came to practice with a captain boat, like a captain hat on, you know? Like, he's doing it not because he knows that people are going to post it, he's going to get on Instagram, he's going to go famous, or he's going to go viral. He's wearing a captain hat because he had it in the closet. He felt like wearing it today, you know, and you have to appreciate that. It's just the confidence that you have in yourself, you know, the confidence you have in your personality is just, it's awesome to see. Just being around that would probably be the only thing that I can see why universally he'd be loved. And he's just himself, man, and it's so dope to be right. a part of.
And as a teammate, it must be like behind the scenes, it's just, he seems like a guy that just is so even keeled all the time, probably, right?
I mean, it's as even keeled as anybody is, I guess, right? We're around each other all the time, 24/7. But yeah, I mean, he's really chill. He is super chill. Actually, we have a really good locker room. Our chemistry and our camaraderie in our locker room is amazing.
Everyone fits in. You can tell me the one guy who doesn't fit in. We'll call him out right now.
Steph. If I had an answer, if I had, right?
That's funny.
Man, yeah. I mean, everybody's cool, bro. That's dope.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so a few things we just need to get out of the way here. Nickname preference. I think you've been asked this before. You call JP3 sometimes. Is there a name you want to go by?
I really do kind of like hearing all of the ones that people throw out there. I feel like I could come up with some, but they're not going to be that creative as everybody else. Like JP3s, I like that. It's really, you know, it's pretty free flowing. Somebody said something about Deadpool. That Deadpool one was pretty dope.
Yep.
I thought that was cool.
We got pool party, but that's when you're doing
the pool party stuff. I'm a big fan of that. I like that. Shout out to Nicole Sigmund, right? So she was our Maze Rage, which is our student section, fan section at Michigan. In my sophomore year, she did that, and it took off. Absolutely took off. So shout out to Nicole Sigmund for that. Pool party is pretty dope. I hear some like Splash Nephew. I hear those. Triplet.
Yeah, do you like the Splash Fam?
Yeah, it's a play on, and my last name is Pool. So like, yeah. I feel like it's too ironic for me, you know, not to be open and accepting to that. And we're in the Bay. Yeah, man. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. So if you got any, how do they do this? Like, put the nickname request in the box below or whatever, right here.
Yeah. Over
that's
there.
Funny. That's yeah. Funny. Yeah.
Okay. No. I like that. Maybe we'll just. I'll tell people what's when people are trying to get a hold of Jordan Poole, what catches, like, does Twitter tag, Insta tag, what's gets your attention most if they're trying?
Definitely not social media. Okay. Social media, I'm no good. No good on social media. I'm not on there often. Whenever somebody screams, pool party, I look every time. Just because, like, that's tough. I gotta acknowledge the pool party.
Oh man, after this comes out, you're gonna have a whole arena yelling pool party, man.
Right?
Pool party.
I'm gonna come into a game one day with floaties on, like floaties or something like that. Some goggles. What?
Dude.
I'm serious.
I mean, every time you should do like the little sunscreen underneath, like on the nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We have heard about the half court competitions between you and Steph.
Yeah.
Is there somebody who's like, is there like a running total? How does this work? Like who's winning all time?
We reset every year.
Okay.
This year, well, we started to keep score a little bit last year. The back end of last year, I think halfway through, after I came back from the G, we started to keep score. But this year we've been keeping score the entire time. Those are fun. Those are always really entertaining. Just because anybody like me and Steph are the main ones who shoot. Sometimes Draymond will get in, sometimes Bond will get in. But every day me and Steph shoot, and some days we hit four, some days we hit five, some days it comes down to a game winner, right? But no, it's really interesting. The running score, I think it's – what is it? It's a lot of ties. I think it's like eight. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Like 8-6-11 or 8-6-14 or a lot of ties. And I think I might be winning right now. I think he said it a couple weeks ago. I was up.
Yeah, I think he did mention it. Right.
Yeah, I think I'm still up.
Do you get like extra points for doing it in a game?
So if you hit one in a game, it counts as a point. So like, okay. Let's say I hit
count more than one point in a game.
Just because essentially the other person doesn't get a chance to shoot.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. So let's say it's 2-2. We go to shoot around and we go to practice that morning and it's 2-2 and we call it a tie. I hit one in the game or Steph hit one in the game. Steph wins that day.
Got it.
Or whoever makes it wins that day and they boost the score for the next day. But if you don't hit one in the game, it's even and you keep the same score until.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you make a good point, but it's really actually not fair because if Steph's on the court with you, he's always getting that ball. Like,
I don't know. The one I hit, they had two people on Steph. Like, just know that if Steph not shooting it, I am. Essentially, if we got a buzzer beater, like a half court shot, if he not shooting it, I am.
Right.
So it's pretty
maybe
cool.
Maybe that's the thing. It's going to be it's going to be a weapon. If you guys, if 4-point play becomes a half court shot or something like that, you put Steph on the left wing, I guess, left side, you on the right side, and just fire away.
Let it go, right? Practice.
This is something.
Those are shots that we practice every day. When I told you the shots that we shoot, we practice those.
Right. So it's not a fluke. For real, it's not a fluke. What, you know, people look at these and be like, oh, lucky shot. And you're like, no, dude, I actually practice that shot.
I really just saw Steph hit three this morning. Like, Jordan really just hit four this morning and shoot around. Like, oh, yeah, no, we see those all the time. Like, the ones, like, when you see, you kind of feel it in the game. Like, people who will take the ball out, like Draymond, if he can't see Steph, or like a Gary or Wiggs can't see Steph, or Loon, they can't see Steph, they're like, all right, well, where's Jordan? Because Jordan will hit the shot too. And it's kind of cool to see. It's pretty dope.
Is there a distance that it switches to a one arm, like, quarterback throw, or is it always a two, like, push at least?
I think anything under the free throw line opposite court is where I'll go one hand.
Okay.
So free throw opposite, I'll shoot two. Anything below that, I'll probably throw it.
And do you ever practice the throw, like, from the other side like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes. I was practicing it the other day.
Got it.
Just kind of like the last, you know, 40 minutes or whatever, 30 minutes you have in practice or before you go home and you're waiting for your mom to get you from the YMCA to shoot all the craziest shots you can. And
yep.
That's probably what that turned into.
No, if the amount of shots that I've hit that no one will ever believe that I hit, you know, by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's just personal accomplishments. I'm not even going to go waste my breath and explain to you that I hit the shot from behind the opposite backboard and it bounced. Like, I'm not going
to
tell you that.
Right. And no one cares, to be honest with you. Like,
right?
It's like talking
about video, no one cares.
It's like talking about your fantasy football team. I lost by 0.3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, don't care. All right, final question for you. You control – tell me if I'm wrong here. You control the music for warm-ups when you guys are warming up? Because I see you going over to the side with your phone.
Mostly, whenever I go and I do my pregame shooting for our 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever it is, I'll put the music on. Juan normally shoots with me, so Juan is like, yeah, go ahead, JP. In terms of, like, the arena, we threw a couple playlists out there, grabbed a couple songs from a lot of players, put a playlist together, sent it over to Sean Bennett, who runs over the entire media stuff, and Chase Enter. And then I want to say we'll also have, like, songs or, like, clips, 5 or 4 or 5 second, you know, music clips after buckets now whenever we get back, which will be pretty cool. So,
that's awesome. I like that. Do you accept requests? Because I feel like I
song requests?
Yeah, I was seeing your baseline and I held up. I was told that I can hold up a picture of a song.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If it fit, like, if you going out there and you listening to some, you feel me, trying to get right, and then the song request don't fit, it's definitely not getting played. But if it's on the same vibe, easy money.
Okay, so like when I'm like Adele, you're not gonna be like,
yeah, that's probably there's not no it. Way, no, not if I'm listening to Drake, there's no way. But if I'm listening to, you know, some Selena Gomez or something like that, you know, some who else we got. Some Madonna or something. Yeah. You say Adele.
Little Miley Cyrus, maybe.
Yeah, I hit play next. I hit play next.
That's a lot of power, man. Having the control of the music is a lot of power.
Yeah, it's very unique because shows the age in our locker room, right? Like, no matter what you play, what time you play it, who the artist is, somebody is going to have something to say. So for all the DJs out there, I give you guys so much credit, because it's a big crowd to play for. But, you know, it's all fun. It's fun, and, you know, it kind of releases attention a little bit when you hear the music. People are open to talk. It's a pretty good vibe. Yeah. It's a really good one.
You're also responsible for whoever's warming up on the other side from the other team, too. So they're listening. They're listening.
They'll be all right.
Yeah, I think they'll get through. Home court advantage. Right. That's how it works.
Right.
JP3, Pool Party, Deadpool, I appreciate you joining us. As always, it is absolute pleasure when you come on. And I hope the cats are doing well. Are your cats good?
Everybody is fantastic.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
All appreciate right. that, my man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Really appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the way.
Appreciate it. See you soon.
Yes, sir.